Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today we have an extra special guest. She is a journalist and the writer of the Basketball Feelings newsletter and co-host of podcasts Basketball and Dishes and Dimes. It's Katie Heindel.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hey. Good. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited, honored. I think when you asked me like in the summer, like maybe a month ago before we like got all our scheduling figured out, I was just like, it's happening.
It's happening.
Well, we're so excited to have you here. We're big fans of yours.
I love the newsletter.
The it's feelings. Great. It's yeah. So good.
There's a lot of feelings.
Yeah, we recently participated in the feelings draft that you organized. Where we picked loneliness and wrote a piece for it. That was kind of a bummer, but it's what is happening in the world
really
right now.
Fitting. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was super fitting. Yeah, your piece was amazing. I think
thank you.
What's happening with the draft is like, well, one, it's still going. It's taking a lot longer than I even anticipated. But that's what happens when you work with a lot of different writers.
Totally. Yeah.
But every feeling has kind of like melded into the current state of affairs, like whether it's in basketball or just like the world that we're in at the moment, which has been nice and kind of scary and overwhelming, but mostly nice, mostly good.
Yeah. I've been thinking about like all this because at the beginning of COVID, I was like, should I be writing in a diary so I could keep track of like my life? And then I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm doing that. I'm making a podcast every week where we're talking about our lives that I can listen to, you know, 5 or 10 years from now and look back on it and be like, what a fucking crazy time that was.
Going to be funny when like archaeologists, like 100 years in the future, if anyone exists then, they're going to uncover a server with like a bunch of like stupid podcasts on them. And that's how they're going to learn about like what was happening at this time.
They'll be like, basketball seemed to go on for a year that year. What happened?
It was wild.
They won't understand us or why we did this or made stupid podcasts like this, but you know, that's fine. I also like, there's no way that there's going to be another like 100 years of humanity left. I mean, it feels like the clock is ticking to me. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we got to enjoy it while we still can. We're having fun. We're having fun today. That's what counts.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I literally was just telling Katie that I was in the shower last night when the earthquake hit, and it like, there's not even. You can't even feel anything. You're just like, all right, what else? Just keep piling more
stuff
on
at us.
Because it just feels like the earth is like, please, I'm begging you to leave me alone and stop. Get off.
Yeah. Not even like a gentle shake, like a really definitive kind of like enough.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
How are you holding up in all of this, Katie?
Oh, I'm good. I mean, I've definitely gone through different stages. I don't know about you guys, but like, you know, and I'm probably like different coping strategies throughout, you know, but the weirdest thing for me that still hasn't really normalized or I've been able to kind of figure out is just like the passage of time now means like kind of nothing, but like everything, you know, like it days, like something. The other day I was thinking about, I think it was like a game, but I was talking about something that had happened in January. I was like, yeah, January, that was like 2 years ago. I'm like, no, it was just months, but everything simultaneously feels like forever ago, but also just like no time at all. So that's a strange thing to try and reconcile, but otherwise like pretty good.
You mentioned going to your pottery studio. Do you do ceramics?
Yeah, I have like a small pottery. Well, I just started it as a hobby and then I kind of turned it into like a small little side business. But yeah, I had to stop just when everything went into lockdown. But since, now, like, it will just, like, there's different members of the studio, but you kind of go one at a time now. You just, like, book off hours for yourself, basically, which has been super nice to, like, have space alone.
Totally.
To, like, go and kind of do something, like, really tactile. And, you know, you got to really focus. If my head is elsewhere thinking about anything, even just, like, nonsense, I'll, like, mess up what I'm doing. So it's, like, very, I guess it's, like, pretty meditative. So it's a nice thing to do. But, yeah,
it sounds therapeutic.
Morning. Yeah.
It's like sweet. You're probably clearing your mind quite a bit while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you get into basketball?
With the Raptors, so I live in Toronto, and I was a part of, like, the people who voted to name the team. And
oh, cool.
I was a child because
wow.
And most people who voted were children because Jurassic Park had just come out, and the options were, like, majority dinosaurs. There were, like, Toronto T-Rex, Raptors, obviously. There were some really bad ones, like Toronto Tarantulas, Toronto Towers. There was, like, Toronto Terriers, and then Toronto Hogs, which is awful. Because Toronto used to be, like, a big, like, pork rendering city, I guess. So,
oh, my God.
That's a fun fact for you. But anyway, I voted in this, like, mail-in poll. So I remember when the team, like, I picked Raptors, and when they got Raptors, I felt, like, just immediately, like, tied to that team. Because I was like, I did this in my child's brain, you know?
But I mean, just, you, like, contributed,
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's more credit than I really deserve. But, like, it was it was just really easy to follow the team since then, because I can't think of, like, another sport. Like, a lot of sports, especially in Canada, with just, like, hockey, which I was never interested in, kind of feel just, like, taken by other people. I think especially, like, being a woman who likes to follow sports, and, like, especially mm-hmm. getting into something for the first time, like, it made it a lot easier to kind of enter into the world because it was just starting. So basically since I was a kid, and then I moved away a bit, and the Raptors were very bad in those years. So I kind of fell in and out with them, which was fine. It felt more like a natural relationship. You know, you don't, like, talk to someone for a while, your lives go in different directions, and then they converge again. And I came back to Toronto just as they were, like, starting to get a little bit better. Like, we had DeRozan and Lowry, and they started to, like, revive the team. So I was like, okay, like, I can get used to this friend again.
Nice. I think your story is a good message to everyone that they need to get out and vote.
Yeah,
I'm Raptors nervous. On any ballot that you're going to be voting on.
Don't write Raptors. Don't throw your ballot away. I feel like it really counts for you guys right now.
For sure.
That's true.
So who's your all-time favorite Raptor?
Ooh. Probably Amir Johnson. He doesn't even play anymore. But he was just, like, if you just Google, like, Amir Johnson smile, he's just, like, a wonderful, just, like,
keep pulling
he was,
it
like,
up.
Such
Let's
a wonderful,
it.
Kind. He played, he went to Philly. But when he was in Toronto, like, the big thing with Amir was, like, he got really into the city. Like, he was one of the first players who was, like, he went to, like, I'm going to go to the zombie walk. There's a stupid zombie walk that happened, like, every Halloween for a while. And he went and participated in, like, full zombie makeup. He would just be, like, out and about.
Cute. Here,
like, all over the city. Yeah. I don't know. I think before then, a lot of players sort of viewed Toronto as just, like, a stop, you know, just, like, a hiatus in their career.
Right.
Until they could basically bounce from here somewhere else. But Amir was kind of one of the first players, I think, who was like, no, I'm, like, really going to get invested in this place. I mean, aside from Kyle Lowry, which I think is just, like, an eternal favorite for any Raptors, like, real Raptors fan.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's different. That's, like, not fandom. That's, like, a piece of your heart.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Can you give us a little peek into what it was like when the Raptors won the championship last year in Toronto?
It was crazy. I mean, the one thing that would have made it better was if they had won here. But I think, like, it was, so that was like a sort of surreal thing to like picture, because everyone in the city like lost their minds. Like I've seen things like that for hockey when like the Leafs have like maybe almost made it. They never make it, but like I've never seen the city just kind of explode like it did that night. So it felt a bit sad to know that they weren't here. Not that they would have seen it or like been out in the streets with anybody, but like just to picture them like across the continent, it was like, oh no. But it was sweet. I think like I just walked around for most of the night, kind of in a daze, just like not really believing it. Sort of, especially the way the game ended, because I don't know if you remember, but it ended on like free throws and just like seconds left, and they kept blowing the whistle, and it was like, please just like, can you not give us this? Like, just call it already.
It was so anticlimactic thing. Yeah.
But I think like, it was like, of course this is the way like it goes out for Toronto. But I think like the picture that I have like best burned into my brain from that night. It's like, because like everyone was like leaning out of car windows and sunroofs and just like leaning on their horns going down the streets. But the best thing I saw was this larger man out of a sunroof in like full leather gear, like leather daddy gear. And
like a harness?
Yeah, he was like, his butt was out. So he had like assless chaps.
And, like, oh my God.
Oh, wow. Harness.
But he had two Raptors flags in his hands. And he was just like holding them above his head. I mean, he was just like, well, he wasn't, but someone in the car was just like slowly going down the street, leaning on the horn. And he just looked so happy and proud.
Aww, I love that.
Just like it takes out, all kinds. Just feeling it.
I love a leather daddy Raptors fan. That's
me too. I've never even thought of one before.
Okay, we usually like to ask our guests who out of the current league would you kiss given the opportunity?
Oh, this is fun.
Imagine could be a Raptor or could be anyone.
The entire league wants to kiss you, and you get to choose from anyone.
You get your pick.
I feel so shy. Like I suddenly got so nervous.
They do all listen to this show, so they're going to hear your answer. So be careful.
I don't know. Like maybe this is weird, but maybe PJ Tucker.
That's not weird.
Yes. Yeah. We're huge PJ Tucker fans here.
He's a handsome guy.
He's really handsome and he has beautiful lips.
He does. And he's
got those cute freckles too, which I really like.
Cute freckles. Really and he loves expressive pancakes. Face. He loves his
kisses. His kisses will taste like syrup.
Really sweet. He did also play for the Raptors, which I wish they had like figured out a way to hang on to him. But I think he wanted to go protect James Harden for some reason.
Gabe, you pulled up the worst photo of him. What is that?
What is this photo?
That one's, that might make me change my decision.
I thought it looked kissy? A little sultry. Yeah.
Sultry? Gabe, you're... When we mention one of the players, we need you to pull up the hottest possible photo of them. Okay, is that doable?
The one Gabe pulled up, he's got his like tongue in the corner of his mouth, and he looks like he's like, I don't know, going catatonic.
Looks like he might bite his tongue off. Yeah,
oh, it's dangerous.
He's definitely a cutie. Also, he's got like a really interesting voice. It's like kind of raspy. Mm-hmm. And he did an interview. I think it was pretty recent with, Scott Van Pelt, where I was just like, I love the sound of his voice. I could listen to him talk all the time. So great pick.
Have you ever seen the videos that he takes usually on summer vacation? So they're probably coming up now. But he has a lot of convertibles and he drives around in them topless and he sings a lot. And he'll put it on like selfie mode and record, which I don't like that much because it seems dangerous.
Yeah.
But he always looks so free and happy.
That is really cute. I hate convertibles. This is just a tangent, but
I mean, well, I don't like my hair flying like everywhere.
Do you think they're too showy?
No, it's like, I don't want to be pelted by wind and my hair is just going to get like massive.
Yeah.
And
And like, I've only dirt lived gets in your eye and like all that stuff. Yeah.
You would think California, it's like, oh yeah, it's the weather's always great, so have a convertible. But the weather is usually too hot or raining or it's smoggy out. Like there's 100 good reasons to not have the top down. So I don't know. That's just my 2 cents about convertibles.
That's fine.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into this past week of basketball. We have a little segment where we wrap up all the news called Previously on Basketball.
Last week on Miami Vice.
Basketball.
The Clippers suffered devastating loss to the Nuggets in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Giannis Antetokounmpo is named NBA MVP for the second straight year. Asia Wilson is named the 2020 WNBA MVP. Maya Moore marries Jonathan Irons, the wrongly convicted prisoner she helped release. Mike D'Antoni won't return to the Rockets next season. Kevin Love pens Players Tribune piece on mental health and depression. Goran Dragic just wants a cup of big face coffee. Let's look at Goran's Twitter about this.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
Big face coffee.
But he's knocking closed, on man. The door.
Unfortunately, at this time I bring cash too. No, I don't have other option to go to Little Face Coffee.
So
I love the whole coffee thing going on with the Heat, Jimmy Butler's Big Face Coffee. I mean, he's got the merch.
Yes.
He's got the tank top, the mask. I love it.
I want some of this merch, but I heard it's all Lululemon. Is that right?
Wow.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true, but
I just thought it was like some, you know, probably that tank top is like $300. And like he had this beautiful like mustard sweatsuit with like Big Face Coffee owner on the back. And I was like, yeah, it probably costs, you know, that's probably silk or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jimmy Butler's not going to be wearing like a polyester blend. Like,
No.
But obviously not.
I think we could do like, maybe we could get in on it together, but I was thinking of doing some knockoff merch.
Oh yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
What would you guys order at Big Face Coffee?
Well, I would get the biggest one because they're all $20.
Yeah, that's true. Best value. Probably a cappuccino. I want to see Jimmy like do the whole thing. Like I want to see him make the foam.
Steam some milk.
We'll do the espresso first. Yeah, steam the milk. Right ratio of foam, which he for sure would, but I just want the moment to last as long as possible. So
that's a great call.
Yeah, I would just be Googling. Yeah, what's the longest coffee to make? I guess,
he has to like sit there and pour for a long time.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know. I don't really drink coffee daily, but when I do, I enjoy a latte. Mm-hmm. So I think I might get a latte, a nice foamy latte.
Mm. Who do you think's getting a mocha? That's my big question.
It's probably like one of these young guys.
One of the candy guys. Probably, who is it that has the candy room in his house?
That was Ben Simmons, right?
He's not in the
bubble.
He's going there to get some coffee. I mean, he's got
to
be.
Dwight Howard also is addicted to candy, so maybe
that's true. Candy boys. All right.
If he's allowed to get coffee from Jimmy Butler, I don't know if LeBron would let his teammates do that.
LeBron would have to like give him a talking to. Like, nope, you're not allowed to go to Big Face Coffee, dude.
Did you hear about Small Face Coffee?
Yeah.
What is Small Face Coffee? I don't know if I heard
there's
about this.
So Goran in that video, he's like, I gotta go to Small Face Coffee, which first I was like, that's a funny joke by Goran. But there's a Small Face Coffee in the bubble, and it's like a Miami Heat trainer basically started another rival coffee company, and it's only $5. So I question like the quality of it, basically.
Yeah. It's anyway. Like bodega coffee. It's been sitting out all day.
It's like the coffee you get at a used car dealership.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, I hope Big Face Coffee becomes like a national thing. Just saying that.
Can't see it going very far with those prices. all right. We have to talk about the Clippers. I mean, truly...
I'm sorry.
Extremely disappointing and crushing loss, and then just getting roasted by everyone who's ever lived on this earth on the internet. Everybody
My
was
mom
so
called
happy
me and was like, "In your face, sucker!" Just kidding. She doesn't
everybody
follow basketball.
Was like so just dancing on. I mean. They blew it. There's no one can deny that they fully just blew their series with the Nuggets. And Dame Lillard, of course, was in here talking shit immediately, saying that he's going to invite Pat Bev to Cancun, get another cabana for him, which I think is a very cute idea.
They should actually do that.
Or, you know, he should just invite Pat to stay in his room because, you know, he's got a big suite. CJ McCollum also. I mean, it's fine. They deserve it. I
CJ McCollum was also clearly like half in the bag, which is great.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't know. There was at some point this season, there was a switch to hating the Clippers, which is fine. People can hate them. But we did an episode of the Flagrant Ones this week. Which, for anyone who doesn't know, all three hosts of that show are Clippers fans, Carl Tart, Sean Clements, and Hayes Davenport. And it was a very silly episode where Carl was in character as a Lakers fan. And everybody got so mad about how they wanted real pain and reactions from Clippers fans. Like, everyone, the audience who was not Clippers fans was, like, upset and disappointed that they didn't get to hear, like, the...
They wanted like the schadenfreude of hearing someone else in pain, which I was just like, why?
I don't get it. Yeah.
Why
I
would you
want
to listen to a podcast like that? The thinking going into it, you know, Hayes and Carl were just like, we just want to have fun. Like, no one wants to listen to us just like be sad or whatever. Apparently, everyone wants to listen to Clippers fans being sad.
I mean, some vocal people, some vocal listeners of that show. I think the episode's really good if you're not going to listen to it looking for the tears of Clippers fans. But
it was
also
very fun to do.
Clippers fans are used to being just fully shat on. So, I think it's fine.
I think like part of me was thinking about what the transition was because, you know, last year during the playoffs, everyone was like, this is a scrappy team. Like they really, you know, fought hard against the Warriors in that first round. And everyone was like kind of like excited by them or like into the idea of this scrappy team doing well. And I honestly think, you know, a lot of people hate Pat Bev, which I get. He's a little gnat to other teams.
Yeah. And a lot of PG thing.
And a lot of people hate, PG, I think in particular, but the fact that they went to the Clippers. So part of me is just like, that's fine. Get those emotions out. You know, I feel that you can be upset about it. But I also was like, this is great that they even did as well as they did compared to last year. This is like a pretty new team that's like getting to know each other or getting to know Kawhi and PG, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm like, cool. Next year, hopefully they'll do better.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for the Nuggets.
Me too. And I want them to beat the Lakers. I would like that. For
but
sure.
We know how you feel now, Katie, about when Toronto got knocked out.
It sucks. I mean, actually, like what you said about them being that kind of scrappy team, I remember once I got over Kawhi leaving Toronto, I was actually in LA last September And my friend who lives there, who I was going to visit, she's a Knicks and a Clippers fan, which is tough for her right now.
Oh, but, my God.
She was really excited. And I was like, yeah, you know, like they are a really scrappy team. Like they reminded me a lot of the Raptors pre-Kawhi, like not even right the year before they got him, but just a bunch of like different really fun pieces and personalities. And I was like, you know, like he might be able to do it again and like kind of fuse that all together and they'll be able to like figure out how they work together. But I don't know what happened. I like they had that most of the year and they were super fun to watch. And then just like in the bubble, they just kind of got a little bit flat, you know?
I think I have a theory.
Okay. I also have a theory.
It has a lot to do with what Paul George talked about his emotional state. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling Kawhi, even though he doesn't really talk about it, was in a similar emotional state. And it wasn't ability. They have the ability to play well. We know that. And I do think it was like a mind state that was holding them back, right? There was so much pressure on them. And Jokic said this. He was like, before game seven, he was like, it's their game to lose. There's no pressure on us whatsoever, you know? And I think that's true. Like, there was a lot of pressure on them. They were, you know, Paul George had talked before about being depressed. I think it was just like a bad mental state. Agata, what's your theory?
Well, I was going to say, my theory is not for why they choked so bad, but for why everyone started hating them was just Marcus Morris was playing dirty. And like, I don't like him at all. And I feel like he was a big reason why everybody turned against the Clippers is he's out there like trying to hurt other players. So fuck you, dude. Get off my team. Like, no, I don't respect that kind of playing at all.
Yeah, the Morai twins are like always a liability. No matter what team they play on, they just like, yeah, they drag it into like evil territory, which is never great, especially when a team is like, you know, leading so close to being actually fun and like really, really easy to get behind. I only felt like a little bit of vengeance. Just because mostly for the critics who were just like, well, you know, Toronto doesn't stand a chance now that Kawhi's gone and that kind of painted Kawhi as like the be all end all for the Raptors. And like, that's why they won the title when it's like, no, they had like done all this formative work that he fit, like that he was able to fit so perfectly into this place that they'd kind of created for him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's what did it. So I was kind of like, you know. It didn't like it was nice revenge to just see it like, okay, well, they went out the same, you know, the same place that the Raptors did, basically.
Right.
Right. And I think, yeah, I mean, a lot of that is just people just making assumptions and talking shit online or whatever. But like, I don't.
Yes.
Like, I think that reality versus the reality of like how the players actually feel is so different. Like, I don't think Kawhi was like thinking that he was, you know, the only reason why the team won. Like, I don't know. A lot of that shit I think is just like fabricated outside of like what's the reality of what's actually happening and then projected onto the players. And it's not really fair for them a lot of times because all the shitstorm around Kawhi switching teams was like who knows how much of that was actually like true. It was just a lot of speculation and horrible bullshit.
NBA but fans like, love drama.
That's true. But I love drama, but I want real drama. I don't want something that's just like gotten legs because people are tweeting about it and it's not actually based in reality. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm glad. I'm really glad that the Raptors made it so far in the playoffs. Like, I was really proud of them. I think they're still really fun to watch.
Also, like, there were so many. The Raptors had so many like career defining moments in the bubble, including that OG Anunoby three-pointer.
Yes.
Like, it's like, that stuff is really cool to me. Like,
yeah.
Because that we'll remember that moment forever, you know?
Yeah, their season this year was just like moment after moment like that, you know, like the regular season and then in the bubble, like even under, like under more of a microscope, you know? And like, that was like the hardest thing for me. I don't think I was like spoiled and had gotten used to the fact of like, oh, they're like, you know, they're gonna win a title every year now. But I think just like based on the season that they had, like it just didn't feel like the correct ending. And I know every fan probably feels that way, obviously, when their team gets knocked out, but it was just like, you know, they'd had all these like wild moments and like so many injuries and had like come back all season and like had a better record than even last year. And the way that they went out and the way that they played and that it had to be Boston, like all those things together, it's just like, this doesn't feel right. Like this can't be what's happening, but yeah. That's basketball.
That's basketball.
That is basketball.
Let's talk about Giannis. Let's see what he posted right after he found out he won. Or right after, the day after, I guess.
Yeah.
It's him holding a newspaper that says, can't read it, it's too small.
It says Antetokounmpo name.
Wait, what?
Name back-to-back MVP.
Yeah.
I guess back-to-back. I have really bad eyes, too.
It's just really tiny on my screen. Yeah. So
and he's on a plane.
He's drinking tea on a private jet and reading a newspaper.
He's flexing pretty hard here.
Yeah.
Who photoshopped this is what I want to know. Like, does he have these kinds of Photoshop skills? Because it looks pretty believable.
Wait, is it photoshopped?
Not that the Times. Yes.
I didn't realize that.
I don't think the Times would have him on the cover, right?
The Times would never have like a basketball thing at all on the cover up of the
fold. Wow. I'm so stupid.
No, it's just how good it was.
It doesn't look like a Photoshop. I bet somebody printed a fake newspaper for him.
Smart, that's smart, even smart. More
dramatic. Or it could be a Photoshop. I don't know.
So LeBron was gracious about losing this. Just kidding. What did he have to say?
I mean, I'm fine. Don't get it twisted. Like, I'm going back to my room. I'm perfectly fine. I mean, we're at 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals. I'm absolutely fine. So don't. Like, I was pissed off at the reaction earlier when I saw it. I'm absolutely great now. I'm going back to my room, drink some wine, and sleep very well tonight. So let's not get it twisted. I'm great.
He doesn't look great.
That does not sound like a person that's totally unbothered to me. I don't know.
His arms are crossed. He protests too much.
Yeah. The lady doth protest too much.
The weird smile on his face, too.
Yeah. How much wine did you drink that night, LeBron?
Yeah. It's like when someone breaks up with someone, they're like, I don't even care what they're doing. I don't even care where they are. I don't care.
I'm actually happy we broke up. Like, it's better for me. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to break up with them. I was going to give myself second place. Like, I get it. He's a very competitive guy. It's upsetting. I'm sure if it was the other way around, Giannis would have been equally upset.
Yes.
I get it. But, you know, I don't think there's any denying that Giannis was dominating the regular season. Like, he was out there.
I mean, LeBron could have been like, yeah, I was upset, you know, and that would have been fine. I don't think anyone would have been like, fuck you. Well, some people would have been like, fuck you, LeBron.
There's always going to be people that say, fuck you, LeBron. I mean, I like LeBron, even though I am teasing him right now, but I like him. I just, I wish it was me. I'll get it next year or whatever.
Yeah, like once and then left it alone. But the fact that he continues with the weird, like, kind of little bit psycho smile on his face, and he's just like, what? Like, I don't, like, it doesn't matter. I'm fine. I'm fine with it. I was never worried about it at all. Like, and then he keeps going after that even.
Never heard of it. Never heard of the award. Yeah.
I wonder if this was around the time that he also saw Bronny's video of him smoking.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
Bronny.
Uh-oh.
This was probably spanked. Before.
Grounded.
This was probably before. This might have actually happened yesterday. Bronny posted on.
Smoking weed.
Yeah.
Can we watch it?
Is Instagram? I think he deleted it, but I'm sure someone got it.
Oh, I did see this. I didn't realize it was him, though. I just saw a joke.
Why would Bronny do this?
He posted it himself. He's smoking a blunt.
Bronny, your dad's on Instagram more than you, I bet. Like, LeBron James is posting.
Oh, my God. I think you're right. He probably was very upset about that.
Yeah.
Oof.
Anyways, Bronny's gonna get spanked.
You better protect that little butt, Bronny. let's talk about Asia Wilson, 2020 WNBA MVP. Congratulations to her. She's amazing. Let's see what her parents' reaction was.
Hey, Dad, you can't tweet anything, but we got MVP.
It's just oh one long scream, uninterrupted scream. I love that.
So cute.
That was so cute.
So fucking cute.
Oh. Oh my God. I wanted to cry when the whole video is very cute. They bring it in to her and she's, you know, very moved. She deserves it, man. The Aces have been playing so well. The mm-hmm. whole team is doing great. And they lost some key players when they went into the bubble. And she is just like such a treat to watch. If you guys haven't caught any Aces games, go check them out. They're in their playoffs right now. And I don't know. I think they have a good chance up against the Storm, who are the favorites to win.
Exciting times.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Maya Moore, who, I mean, this sounds like a full rom-com. She releases this man, Jonathan Irons, who was wrongly convicted from prison. And then, like, to the surprise of everyone, there's photos of them getting married. Let's watch the video.
We wanted to announced today that we are super excited to continue the work that we've been doing together, but doing it as a married couple. So we got married a couple months ago, and we're excited to just continue this new chapter of life together.
Yeah, Jonathan put a ring on it. He put a ring on it. He got a ring himself.
I mean, so cute. They are such a cute couple. I just love this story so much.
There was like weird outrage on Twitter about it. People really? Were
yeah. There was a lot of people that were upset as if marrying this man like took away from the good work that she had done.
Oh my God.
Or that she was doing it for selfish reasons, whatever, blah blah blah. It's horrible. I don't recommend reading any of that stuff because who gives a fuck? Like,
yeah,
like who cares? Like, what?
Yeah,
it makes no difference.
No, that's just like one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. I haven't seen any of that. I'm glad I haven't, but like, of course, there was like an inherently selfish reason. Like, anyone who does something that's like selfless, like you're still doing it because there's like a part of you that's like driven to do it,
right?
Yeah,
well, and I think she said that like she started doing it just because it was like her family was doing it actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they fell in love along the way. And it's like, they're both going through this whole thing together. It makes sense that they would fall in love. It's
a very intense experience all around. Like,
totally.
It's not up to anyone. Yeah. That's not on anyone to judge or say horrible shit about. I mean,
right.
Like she, well, I mean, obviously WNBA players are just dealing always with a constant onslaught mm-hmm. of
mm-hmm. Yeah.
sexism, racism, a combination of both, all of it. Like, it's just a nightmare on Twitter for any WNBA players. So I was not surprised because I've seen horrible shit for the whole time we've been doing this podcast. But we just want to send our well wishes to the happy couple. And
yes, congratulations.
I want to see this made into a movie, and maybe I'll write it.
You should write it.
You should. I'm buying the life rights right now. this is how you do it, right? You just announce it on your podcast.
Yeah,
I think that's so.
All you need.
There's no rules right now. It's a free for all.
Perfect. Let's talk about Kevin Love. He wrote another piece for the Players Tribune. Here, I'll read a little excerpt. I didn't really know how to be comfortable in my own skin. I could never just be unapologetically Kevin walking into a room. I was never in the moment alive. It was always the next thing, the next game, the next. It was like I was trying to achieve my way out of depression. And so I guess it's not surprising that some of the darkest moments of my life happened when that crutch of basketball got taken away.
Oh, Kevin. So I wonder if he's been really, I mean, he's not playing basketball, you know, right now. He wasn't in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like that would be really hard to deal with. You're just alone with your own thoughts. I mean, I relate kind of.
Yeah, that's us. We're also not in the bubble.
I'm isolated. I'm alone with my thoughts. And it sucks. Like, you just, when all you have to do is focus on yourself and you've built up this system where it's like you have done everything in your power to not focus on yourself and become like a workaholic and whatever other coping mechanisms you use. And I'm really excited that he wrote this, and hopefully a lot of people can relate to it and get help if they need to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll put a link in our show notes to the article.
Yeah,
I had a feeling. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, obviously, yeah, as you said, like he stopped playing basketball quite some time ago and never got to restart like a lot of his peers. But just like, I don't know. I mean, I have to follow all these guys on Instagram for my work. I don't have to do that. I just do that. But like, just based on like how he kind of spent his spring and summer, and I don't know, just like his posts, the like feel of the vibe of his posts.
Yeah.
It was kind of sad. So I'm glad that he wrote that. A lot of good things always seem to happen when Kevin Love comes out with those things. I think it gives a lot of people permission to just like be honest with themselves and like be in their feelings.
I agree. For sure. And I thought it was great when Paul George came out about his depression and like what he's dealing with in the bubble too. So it's like, we're all going through it, like no matter where you are, what you're doing.
And the more you normalize talking about it, the more people will not feel ashamed when they need help, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about where we are in the NBA playoffs right now. As of today, the Heat have 2 wins over the Celtics and who have 0, and the Lakers have 1 win over the Nuggets, who have 0. Really waiting for the Nuggets are waiting to be down 3-1 before they.
I really want them to pull it off again. I really would too. Be so fun.
I love
watching them
story,
play.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, like going down 3-1 3 times in a row, that would be insane.
It's just like the source of their weird power. They just need to claw back from like impossible depths, or else it's like not worth it enough. Like the win is
for
just
sure.
In itself, it's like not important enough to them. I believe it.
I mean, I want to see it happen. Maybe they can do it. I'm hoping.
So this week we watched the Miami Heat at the Boston Celtics in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals on September 17th, 2020. Let's meet the boys.
Let's meet the boys.
Come on, let's meet the boys. Great group of guys.
So on the Heat, we've got Jimmy Butler, Jay Crowder, Bam Adebayo, Goran Dragic.
It's good to emphasize the C, I think. It's correct.
Okay. Duncan Robinson. Off the bench, we've got Tyler Hero, Kelly Olynyk, and Derek Jones Jr., head coach Eric Spoelstra.
And on the Celtics, we have starters Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Daniel Theis, Marcus Smart, and Kemba Walker. And off the bench, we had Brad Wanamaker, Enes Kanter, and Grant Williams. Head coach, Brad Stevens, little baby Brad.
The child coach. Oh, God.
Let's get into the game. Before the game started, Rachel Nichols spoke with Tyler Hero. Did y'all see that? She had like a little interview with him, and I'd never heard him talk before, and he is such a little baby.
He is a young boy.
He is so young. And it looked like he has braces, which I don't think he does, but he just talks like maybe at one point he did have braces. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I just was like, you're such a baby.
I need him to get rid of those red ink tattoos he has. It's such a bad look. I hate it.
Tattoos are really, really intense. He's a very intense boy.
He is, and I love him, but why would you... Can you make it bigger? It's tiny.
He's like, I want to look like I'm always bleeding freshly these words. Yeah,
it's on his chest, and it says, no...
No work, no check.
Oh, no work, no check. Right.
No check.
And it's red, and it looks like fear.
Remember No Fear? Like the clothing line?
Yeah, it does look like No Fear. That's true.
Like No Fear font. Just put black ink on it, and that would just improve it 1,000%. I don't understand the red.
It's his only tattoo as well. It feels like a very intense first tattoo to get, but
it's also about capitalism.
Yeah.
Which true. Bums me out.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you're getting one tattoo and you're going to get it in red, have it be a cool cobra or something.
Not or some flames.
Yeah, or some flames. Oh, exactly. Flames would have been perfect. But I've also heard, any tattoo artist listeners that we have, let me know if I'm wrong. But I heard that red ink, if it's not outlined, because red ink actually fades faster than black.
Yeah.
If it's not outlined by black, that it ends up getting kind of blurry. So he might have some real blurry tattoos in 10 years.
It's already kind of hard to read, and it's fresh. So yeah. I can't imagine.
Oh man.
I hope he covers it up with tattoos that say relax and
take a vacation.
Take a break. Yeah.
Take care of yourself. You deserve it.
You don't need to. Your value is not determined by your productivity, Tyler. Okay. I just want you to know that.
We love you no matter how hard you work.
What if he changed it to no work, no problem? Then he'd only have to change one of them.
That would be great. But I feel like Jimmy Butler wouldn't allow it.
Okay, this game, okay, I mean, listeners to the show know that I am on the hashtag Heatwave. I love this team. I love watching them play. This game was very fun to watch because the Celtics were, doing really well in the first half. It didn't get the gap between them didn't get crazy at any point. The Heat were keeping it pretty close, but they did 10 or
12 points was the max.
Yeah. And it was all Bam Adebayo, Duncan Robinson, Goran Dragic. They were all out there moving the ball around really well. They're such a well connected team that it's really fun to see them in action. And Jimmy Butler, at some point, Rachel Nichols said that she talked to him before the game and was you show up in the fourth quarter and you take it home, but where are you for the other quarters? And he's like, I do that on purpose so that everyone else feels good and they're happy and they're confident. And then I can come in at the end and just close it out. And I'm that's such a good strategy because he's not dominating that court for the entire game. He's not the only reason why they're doing so well. Giving them the room to show their skills and get better and get strong and feel good. And then he's adding on top of it. It's a great strategy.
And it's also the opposite for the opposing team where the opposing team is maybe getting overly confident by the half.
Mm-hmm.
I think the score at the half was 47-60. So the Celtics were up by 13. So they're coming into the third quarter we got this. And Kemba was on fire at the beginning of the all through the second quarter. He was just playing so threes. Much better than he had in the first game, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think the Heat are like schemers, which I'm coming to realize and I really love. And like a lot of their versatility comes from them just being able to like cook and kind of figure out things on the fly. And they've got like, they don't really let themselves get like bogged down if something goes wrong or if like shots aren't falling or if they get like, you know, something just like doesn't work. Whereas I think Boston, I don't know, almost gets like too frustrated with themselves. I might just be projecting entirely the child coach's like feelings onto the game when like that kind of stuff happens. And I feel like he's just like having a silent fuming like temper tantrum. But
yeah,
I agree with you. Like, I think the Celtics kind of came into it with a lot of expectations that it was either going to be easy or they could maybe outlast the Heat. But the Heat are just like, they've got energy to spare. And I think that was like, for me, the main difference in watching the series has been so much fun and sad a little bit, because I'm just like, man, like I've seen the Raptors play like that. And like, that's what they need to do to beat Boston. But I think the Heat are like in the best situation to do it, just because, yeah, they're like crafty, energetic schemers.
Yeah. They're like little foxes. Yes. Five foxes on the court.
Who are you rooting for in this, Katie, in the series?
Oh, the Heat, of course. I hate the Celtics. Which is weird, because like the Celtics for the most part are very likable people separately. Mm-hmm. But I came to really loathe them.
Yeah, I think we've talked about how the team as a, you know, franchise, like they have so much negative history, and like there's so many people that hate them, but these guys as individuals are really great. All of them, but right, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Kemba, like you can't hate those guys.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they're not like, they're just the current players on the team. They're not representing the like decades of like, you know, franchise history or whatever, right, especially with how much they move around. Like,
yeah,
you know, Kemba doesn't, he's not responsible for everything the Celtics have ever done. You know what I mean?
Or how Celtics fans, you know, are
in general.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's like, Bill, it's Simmons, like a separate world.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. No one's responsible for Bill Simmons. Not even Bill Simmons.
Are you rooting for the Nuggets in the West?
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah, like the Nuggets, I mean, that's like an interesting series to watch, because I just like, I don't have, I mean, I want the Nuggets to win now because Jamal Murray is a Canadian, and I love Jokic, and I love Paul Millsap because he like got really into magic at the beginning of the the hiatus, like during quarantine. He like, I'm going to become an amateur magician. And he did.
I love that.
So they've got a lot of really like fun, like different pieces. And they also just seem to really like love each other, and they play really like a really kind of joyful game. And I think the Heat do that too. Like the Heat are always like chatting to each other, like talking to each other, high-fiving. Like there's never a time, like they're always like touching each other and like letting each other know where they are. And I love watching like that kind of basketball the most, you know. It also is the kind of basketball you feel like anything could happen, like, you know, something kind of wacky or off the wall, or just these like,
yeah,
for sure,
sort of like Cinderella moments.
They have a great bench too, like Myers. God damn it. I almost said Myers Lemon.
I always say that.
Myers Leonard. Myers Leonard is, he's always clapping and yelling. And like, even when they're down, if anyone, you know, like gets a shot, he is like out there, you know, on the sidelines, very supportive. They just have like a very supportive bench. It seems like everyone's, you know, in it. They're gelling. Like Magellan.
The only one
I was going to say, like, Dr. Scholes.
dislike is Kelly Olynyk. He's Canadian, but he's just like, to me, he's just like a dude in college who just like smokes like the dankest weed, and he never has grown out of that personality. And like, I think it was last summer, because I have a column, NBA Summer Vacation Watch, when summer vacation starts. But he went to, is it, I think it's Bermuda, where all those swimming pigs are, like the wild swimming pigs.
Oh,
and
cute.
He went there, but he was like feeding them weird garbage, and like he had a fedora on and his like goatee and these terrible like aviator sunglasses. And he was just like holding garbage above these pigs and like smoking a cigar. And I was just like, dude, like, one, you look you look bad. Like, you don't look good on vacation, which feels weird. Like, everybody looks pretty good on vacation. And then also, like, what are you doing in these little pigs?
Like, they're not being tortured enough by, like, tourists, but, like, you're giving them, like, an old Mountain Dew can.
Yeah. Knock it off, Olytic. Also, he can be a little bit of a dirty player, so I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm not into that at all.
We all chose our Heat boyfriends couple episodes ago, and Kelly Olynyk is Gabe's boyfriend.
Uh-oh, Gabe.
Oh, like,
get your boyfriend
don't
in check.
Don't talk about my man like that, you please.
You picked him on purpose, or, like, someone assigned you him?
It was kind of a pity pick, I gotta admit.
Okay. Have you ever seen him riding a Segway?
No, I didn't know.
There's
about
also
that.
Pictures of him riding a Segway. Just looking like such a little skid. It's not great.
That's so funny. My boyfriend was Goran Dragic, and Agata, was yours Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. I know it's basic, but that's my I love him.
I love Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I love him.
Who would you choose as your boyfriend on the Heat, Katie?
I mean, I think this is funny. More realistically, Bam Adebayo.
Oh, yeah. Like,
aspirationally, Jimmy Butler, 100%.
Bam is so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bam was so great in this game, too, just watching him, like, back-to-back.
Oh, my God.
Making those baskets, getting them in.
In the third quarter, in the span of, like, 2 minutes, the Heat went from 10 points down to taking the lead. And that sequence, that like two to three minutes, however long it was, towards, I think it was like at the six minute left mark, was such an amazing sequence for the Heat. Like, they were getting all the stops. They were like, the Celtics didn't score at all in that time. And, there were some big Bammy slammies, is what I wrote in my notes.
I love that. That's got to stay. That's got to stick around.
Hashtag, new hashtag.
Bam was just throwing down some, like, incredible dunks towards the end of the third. It was really great.
It was.
Yeah, he's like, him and Jimmy, the way that they've kind of, like, grown off each other's game this season, and, like, how Bam looks to Jimmy all the time, like, on and off court, but, like, on court, he's just, like, he's, like, both his, like, protector and, like, his little brother, and, like, Jimmy's always kind of, like, they kind of have, like, a mini Lob City thing going, you know, like, he'll always, like, Bam will, like, toss it to Jimmy if he sees him out, or if, like, Jimmy just sees Bam, like, tucked in the paint, he'll just, like, he'll get him the ball, and he'll just kind of pop up and, like, dunk it. Yeah, they're
it's
great.
So cute.
They're great.
It's so that. Fun to watch. Yeah, and then in the fourth quarter, Jimmy Butler just turns it on. He's like, okay, it's Jimmy time.
It's big face coffee time.
Big it's face coffee time. Beans. The coffee Jimmy kicks Beans in. Time. He goes into overdrive. And it was just like, you know, they went back and forth a little bit with the lead, but by, towards the end of the fourth, it was like, the Heat are just going to win this. You could feel the energy just melt out of the Celtics, you know? Yeah. And they were clearly getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. And the final score was 106-101. The Heat won it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hashtag Heat Wave, baby.
there was an interview with Brad Stevens, baby Brad, I think right before the fourth quarter, where he just said, We just got to play better. Like, that's all he could say.
Was that when he was mic'd up?
Maybe it was when he was mic'd up.
There was a point when he was mic'd up, and I think he was just like, he just kept repeating the same thing, but there was no intonation in his voice. He was just like, he was like, we got to play better, and we just got to play better. We're just going to do it. Like, it's like, this is your coach? Like, this guy's not going to get you fired up.
That's not very helpful, first of all. It's like, we know. Mm-mm. We, like, how? Yeah. Give us something tangible to do. So the poor little Celtics go back to their locker room. They're all pissed off. Brad Stevens is probably in there saying, gotta play better. And he's just poking at them. And a fight erupts. We get some glimpses of it from the reporters who are outside the locker room, who are, okay, here's Malika Andrews. Okay. She wrote, Marcus Smart is screaming at someone in the Celtics locker room or several people. The yelling continues as Smart exits the locker room swearing.
Oh my goodness.
Right? Something's going on.
Yeah.
Here's Woj. He says Brad Stevens had a late night Thursday meeting with Celtics leaders Kemba, Jason, Jalen, Marcus Smart to work through emotions of post game 2 locker room. A lot of yelling in locker room, but nothing escalated to a physical confrontation. Why did he have to throw that in there?
I think there had been rumors that Marcus Smart like punched someone.
Well, there was also the tweet that was like, there are mysterious clanking sounds coming from the locker room, like chairs being thrown. And I really fixated on that one. I was like, what are these mystery clanks? Like, what's going on in there?
Someone's just hitting two pipes together.
Yeah, like bad plumbing or like a ghost, like ghost sound. You know, like Halloween sound effects, like the chains like rattling.
Yeah.
There was a point during the game when Marcus Smart hit Kemba in the head accidentally. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, if I were Kemba, I would have been pissed about that and been like, be careful, dude. Like, you, I get it. You love to just fucking slam your body into people, but you elbowed me in the head, you know? Like,
and he went down like hard. Like his toes were doing that thing, you know, when you're like really hurt and they kind of like invert and like get really tense.
Yes.
It was bad.
I just imagined that instigated the fight.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, once again, I wish there was a camera in the room so we could hear the whole fight. We could all be in there and be part of the conversation. But I'm assuming, I mean, I guess the COVID rules mean that the reporters can't get in there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got to wait outside for their designated time with them. I like it. I like a meltdown like this because, you know, the Heat are like getting under their skin.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. That's true. Yeah.
And that could either result with like a big Celtics comeback in the next game.
That's true.
Or it could be like they're too in their head and they can't.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. It's about to happen. Yeah. We're a few hours away.
Oh my goodness.
Let's see what, well, by the time this comes out, you guys will already know, but for now we're hoping
we'll know if the chair that got thrown is the sixth, now the sixth man of the year. If the Celtics come back.
All right, let's give out some donkeys.
Donkeys!
All right, so the donkeys are awards we give out for arbitrary categories that we make up on the spot. It can be for absolutely anything. It does not even have to be game-related. We always give out most points, so
that has to go to the Heat.
Congratulations. Got to go to the Heat. We usually give out best dunk, which I think has to go to Bam.
I think he did so many Bammy Slammies. I guess
so many Bammy Slammies.
You should call them Bammy Slammy Award.
That's good. Yeah, he did a one in particular stands out to me where he slammed it down and then swung from the hoop, which I always love a swinging exit from a dunk.
He's just going wee after the dunk.
Exactly. It just looks fun. And he put a lot of work in today, or that day. So congratulations to Bam.
Yeah. I think, look, there's a lot of great shoes. There were a couple great shoes on the court that I really noticed. But I think the best shoes award has to go to Jaylen Brown. He was wearing for the second game in a row these bright green, where it's like each shoe is two different colors of bright green, and they're just cool. So I got to give best shoes to Jaylen Brown.
One of them's blue, right? Isn't it one green and one blue?
It's like the shoe is cut in half. It's like one color on one side and one color on the other side, but it's like a bluish green on one side and like a neon green on the other.
Oh, I see. So like,
as he's running, you're seeing two colors every time.
Yeah. That's cool. I thought it was just two different color shoes. That's awesome.
So I should make up one? Make up an
award?
Yeah,
if you...
Okay. Yeah.
I think I'll give like a coffee tenacity award to Goran Dragic because right before the game, he finally got his big face coffee fix. And he got it for free, which I feel like is like going to be unheard of. Like Jimmy Butler, not even giving you a discount, but like giving you that cup for free. That's huge.
Amazing.
That is huge. Yeah. He has a cool quarantine board beard too. Goran Dragic. It's like so scraggly. Gabe, do you have an award you want to give out?
You know, I always love when somebody's name is like appropriate to what they do. Like if someone's last name is Judge and they're a judge, that's always great. Mm-hmm. So I want to give that award, whatever you would call that,
appropriate
to Brad.
Name.
Appropriate name to Brad Wanamaker. because, you know, especially if you think of a shot as a feminine thing, like he wants to make her. I don't know.
Or he just wants to make a shot, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
He wants to be a maker of shots. There we go. That's much better.
Yeah, this is great. I love it. I wonder what the origin of his name is.
He also has a very cool story. I guess he like came from overseas where he played for a long time before he made it to the NBA, which is very cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, once again, Celtics, very likable team. I mean, likable people, hateable team, but likable people.
So who wins the Dunkies?
Okay, well, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. So the Heat win. The Heat win it with 3 Dunkies, and the Celtics have 2. Congrats, Heat.
Congratulations. You win the game and the Dunkie, which is even more important, as we all know.
Nice.
We did it. Okay. Let's get into our mail basket. You got mail. Today we have a voicemail.
Hey, Queens of Dunktown. It's Abe in Portland. A very smoky, unhealthy, horrible Portland. I hope you guys are doing well. That was a tough loss last night. But I'm feeling for you. I'm not here to rub it in. And another fun thing that I've been doing is referring to teams by what bottom clothing they would be. So right now in the East, we have the Boston Khakis versus the Miami Thongs. And in the West, the Denver Cargo Shorts beat the LA Harem Pants and will now face the Los Angeles Glitter Shorts. That's a fun thing to do. Oh, and Portland are the basketball shorts. Anyway, love you guys. Hope you're well. Bye.
I like that Portland is just basketball shorts.
Yeah, why do they get...
I mean, it makes sense. You probably see a lot of this, but thanks, Abe. This is the cutest idea. What would the Raptors be as far as?
Ooh. I mean, it's got to have to be. Unfortunately, it can't be like warm weather bottoms, which is I hate that.
They're
probably
the snow
some
pants.
Type of like tech. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I was gonna be like, oh, like some kind of technical sweats, but it's definitely like slush pants.
Yeah. Like the fuzzy, like what you wear when you ski, like the fuzzy on the inside, but water resistant.
No, not even. Just like the stupid, like lightweight, like crinkly ones that you can put over things. Not even comfortable.
Yeah.
When I think about clothing in Toronto, I think about Serge Ibaka's Avec Class with OG Anunoby.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you could just turn scarves into bottoms.
I mean, with Serge's scarf. Yeah.
No, the legs would be so cold.
It's just a little scarf sarong.
That a little inside information for you. That was actually a blanket that his manager picked up at either I think Nordstrom that day, and then had it tailored into a
that
scarf.
That is so funny.
Is that real?
Yes, it's real. It's real.
That is funny. I love that.
We've got the scoop on the show, you guys. You guys are lucky to be hearing this here.
I thought that was out there already, so maybe like I've broken it. But that's okay. It was a long time ago now.
Maybe I missed it, but wow.
I feel like the Phoenix Suns would be like Juicy Couture shorts that show the bottom of your butt.
Who are swim trunks?
Or swim trunks.
Or board, swim trunks. Like
board shorts.
Board shorts.
That's a very Phoenix thing, too. Yeah.
Board shorts.
What about Dallas? I got a
chat.
What'd you say?
Chaps.
Chaps.
Chaps. Oh, that's good. Assless chaps, yeah.
I love that.
I was thinking about the Warriors.
Bell bottoms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Golden State bell bottoms.
Oh, that's so good. Okay, Chicago.
What's like, I feel like Chicago has to be like work, like Ben Davis work pants or something like that.
Like Carhartt, like some kind of Carhartt with like a hammer loop or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love
Maybe
it.
Overalls. I don't know.
The Orlando Mickey pants.
With the buttons and the straps.
Just the bottom half of a mascot costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is a great game, Gabe. Yeah. Abe. Not Gabe. Abe. Thank you for introducing it to us.
Yes. Thank you. If you guys want to leave us a message, you can always call us at 903-420-DUNK, or you can email us at hi@dunk.town. Tell us what's going on, how you're feeling about the finals, how you're feeling about your life and the world, and anything at all. We're here to listen.
Anything you want.
Yeah. Katie, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
I guess all the other podcasts I have that you already plugged already, but Dishes and Dimes, which I'm really lucky to be a part of, all women NBA podcast, basketball, of which we are doing trivia soon, and you two are going to be team captains.
I'm excited about that.
And then, yeah.
I'm scared.
You're going to be so good. Don't be scared. It's just questions like this. It's just going to be questions about like pants and franchises. I feel like it's giving me some good ideas.
How do people sign up for that if they want to?
You can go to, basketball Twitter, which is two H's after, I know everybody says it a different way, but, and there's information there right there for you to sign up. And I'll get you guys a link too if you want to share it.
Yeah, we can put the link in our show notes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. And then I guess basketballfeelings.substack.com if you'd like to sign up for that and read more about both of those things.
It's a great newsletter. I love reading it.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Anastasia, is there anything you want to plug?
Yes. I would like to plug seasonal fruit.
Amen.
I feel like I am eating more fruit now than I ever have in my life because I'm getting a box, like a produce box. And I feel like it's such a refreshing snack, and eating with the seasons is just a good nutritional idea too. Like, it's good for your body. So you're getting mixing things up. So grab some seasonal
fruit. What's good
right now?
I just got a organic mango in my box, and it was so good. I highly recommend.
I had an organic mango last week, and I stood over the sink eating it because it was too messy, and it was so good.
I don't even know if mangoes are in season right now, but fuck, it was amazing.
Well, it's kind of, we're in a transition right now into fall. So fall fruit is like apples, cranberries, figs, pears. Actually, pears are great right now if you get
some pears. Oh, I got some pears too. Those were really good.
But we're coming out of the summer season, and I've been eating a lot of blueberries all summer, a couple different stone fruits, plums, pluots, that sort of thing. So just, it's all been good. Get some fruit. Agata, do you have a plug?
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier, but I just want to plug our episode of The Flagrant Ones. It's a very fun show. It's Patreon only. So if you're interested in finding another show that is basketball related and very silly, check it out. And we're on this week's episode. Listen to it at patreon.com/theflagrantones. Gabe, do you have anything?
Just really quick, one of the things about our Patreon that we don't talk about too much is that we drop these episodes a little bit early. So if you're getting this on Wednesday and you're like, this game was a week ago, first of all, calm down. Second of all,
we have
you
lives.
Can sign up for our Patreon and you'll get it. You know, we put them out as soon as we can. So Monday, Tuesday, and that's always very fun.
Yeah,
that's true.
Patreon.com/dunktown.
Yeah, we didn't advertise that much because of what we weren't sure. It's not like an every single week thing, but as much as we can, Gabe is really great about getting that out there. And our Discord has been amazing. I know we have been talking about it every week, but it really is just so much fun. Everybody in there is super nice and friendly.
Great group of guys.
Great group of guys and gals. And I mean, last night, Gabe and I played Mario Kart. So if you want to join us
with Discord folks,
so if you want to join us, you can sign up at patreon.com/dunktown.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right. Thank you to everyone who is on this journey with us. As always, we love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.
For more Dunktown content, check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/dunktown. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. I am on Twitter at @echo_mint and on Instagram at Agata Monica. Anastasia is on both at Anastasia Vigo. Check out our website, dunk.town. If you like the show, please write us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen. We always really appreciate those. We have t-shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Tomingus for the Dunktown design, and thank you to Andrew Bear for our original music for the show. Sources and references from this episode can be found in the episode description.